yeah, citizens of Ireland, your roads are safe. Indeed, they are safe. For the Bible tells us so. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Alvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide. Joining me today is Rebecca Friedman. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sam. Lovely to be here.
Yes, and joining us again is Josh Oberg. How are you?
Doing great.
So like I said, citizens of Ireland, you're going to love this. A number of parishes in Ireland participated in a widespread blessing of the roads to improve safety. The blessings were a part of a larger campaign in Mayo County to increase road safety. One member of the city council said the idea came from Australia, which holds a similar event annually. The county hopes the blessing will raise awareness of road safety, remind people of loved ones lost to auto accidents, and recognize that people who work to reduce accidents. So, blessing of the roads then.
Yeah, I think this is going to be definitely a good chance for Templeton Foundation to come in and maybe
do their thing.
Yeah. I mean, here we go. We got a case study right here.
Well, yeah. I mean, like in Australia, they apparently do this annually, and I'm certain it works fantastically. But you have a moment where the roads were not blessed, and so you have clearly you have statistics about those roads. Otherwise, why would they be raising this information awareness campaign? Well, you know, holy cats, people are dying.
Holy roads, people are dying.
That too. and then you bless the roads. Now you have a change in, well, a theoretical change in state, something that's testable. You can test before, you can test after. You'd have to correct for things like, oh, I don't know, informational awareness and stuff like that. But
we need to have a control county that does a road safety awareness campaign
with
at the same time, no blessing, and see how it goes. You know, one of the things that I just don't understand.
But do we really need to deepen the partition between Northern Ireland and the rest of the island?
Oh, my goodness. Things that we didn't consider. Oh, no. I don't know if we need someone reminded of loved ones lost in auto accidents. I don't know if that's, you know, I mean, I think that if I had lost someone in an auto accident, I don't think I'd need to be reminded of it by a priest coming and sprinkling water on it. I think I know pretty well that my loved one was lost. I mean, is this a way to memorialize them?
That might be, but it also might be for people who haven't lost loved ones to stop driving like a knob. Which is, you know, okay, you take the weird religious angle out of it. I'm all for telling people to stop driving like knobs, starting with yours truly, to be honest.
Absolutely, but I also think this is just another way to keep the priests busy.
Just something to do.
Well, at this point, Ireland's having a hard enough time, growing their own priests. They're having to import them from other Catholic nations.
Well, it's just sort of a Western Europe thing, isn't it, where a lot of nations that have a state religion, they're finding themselves increasingly kind of pointless as the understanding of the universe increases and people are less inclined to believe the usual religious mythological stuff and, you know, pay more attention to stranger mythologies like all these comic book movies.
That sounds like commie talk to me.
Yeah, it might be.
You know what this does remind me of, though, Sam?
What's that?
About 6 years ago, you and I were driving up to, I believe, Island County, in our own state of Washington.
Indeed.
Switch counties from Ireland to Washington. And do you recall the big, long line of motorcyclists?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, it was the blessing of the bikes.
Blessing of the bikes at the local public utilities division. That was the first time I had ever witnessed something like that. And you know, I guess that's perfectly okay, if not a little bit odd. I don't know that it happens at the public utilities division. Whether that's a thing that's sponsored by the city, I would think that if the same kind of Irish blessing of the roads were happening here,
right.
I would have to see is this a endorsed thing? Are roads a public free speech? Is it the public square? Is it a free speech zone? Can we have random blessing of the roads?
Well, given that you might die, I would call it a public speech zone.
Man.
Because there are cars going by as I was on I-5 today. I don't want to say that I think this is terrible and horrible and on the same order of a lot of the other stuff we talk about on Ask an Atheist. If people want to bless roads, I guess that's fine. Especially your own, your own motorcycle, of course. If that's something you believe in, go ahead and do it. This is sort of the kookier aspects of religion that just makes me giggle a little bit, which is why I like opening with stories like these. What's the world import here, Josh? I mean, where does this hurt us?
Actually, I don't think it hurt us at all. It's no, just a good, clean, fun story.
Yeah, I think I might toss something out here, though. Is if somebody's got a motorcycle and they get it blessed, and let's be honest, it's motorcycles that require a lot more attention and require a lot more analysis of what you're doing than a four-wheeled vehicle. And you get it blessed, you're like, well, I have the protection of the Holy Lord. Might you take more risks? Is that is that something that we could test?
No, because they'll just sit there and say he was a sinner. He didn't pray hard enough. He didn't believe hard enough, but whatever.
So it's an automatic get out. I,
it's the
I
blessing
lose
of the
bike,
not the blessing of the biker. So, you know.
Oh, so, okay. Horrible accident. Rider dies. Bike's okay. Blessing works.
Yeah, that's how we test it.
That's really creepy, Becky.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Sorry about this one. You know, we do wish all the motorists and bikers of County Mayo in Ireland all the best safety as we head into the summer season.
Also, to be honest about this story, it's not like they're saying, well, I imagine people are thinking, yeah, we're blessing the roads, so it's going to be great. But they're saying they're blessing the roads in part of, as part of an informational campaign.
Right.
So there's sort of a, yes, we're going to pay homage to, you know, we're going to. You know, do the religious thing, but the undertones of this are entirely informational and, you know, use known functional methodologies that don't require religion in order to raise awareness.
Well, the CDC did something similar to this, and to raise awareness for preparing for catastrophe, had zombie apocalypse packaging, emergency services. So that way you use that as your example, as this is what you're going to prepare for. It's definitely not real, but...
Oh, so
it's all fun all the same.
You're saying that like the zombie squad folks are basically the more secular version of what's going on here?
The difference is they knew that there's no zombies.
You hope.
I hope.
I don't know. CDC might know something. Might have something up their sleeve that we don't know. What are they guarding in those level five containment centers?
Becky, that's the wrong. You're on the wrong show for this.
Oh,
you're on the wrong. Yeah, no. This is the wrong place. We're not on cable access anymore.
Okay.
So if you notice, my voice is a little stripped out this week because I'd like to take a moment and congratulate Ron John and Maisha. Ron John, who's a guest on the show pretty frequently and who has, a fan base of sorts, got married this weekend. And Ron John and I have been friends for 20 years. And so congratulations, Ron John and Maisha.
We wish them all the best.
Yeah. And it was a heck of a night last night. I'll just put it that way. So, which is why I'm thinking about Rhodes, Ireland, blessing, all that stuff. Mississippi State Representative and Baptist Minister Andy Gibson is advocating for House Bill 786, which would protect church security guards from civil liability and would allow them to mount a defense of justifiable homicide if they shoot dead someone committing a felony that interferes with worship. The proposed law would eliminate a conflict between an existing statute that prohibits guns in places of worship generally and another law that allows for those with concealed carry permits to have guns in churches. Legislator John Hines, Democrat of Greenville, expressed concern to Gibson that a mosque full of armed Muslims might be mistaken for terrorists. Police organizations and secular advocacy groups decried the proposal.
Ah, okay. So here we have a special privilege of being able to use deadly force just because you are part of a church security team. Is it church security team or is it any group that worships security team?
Wait, a security team worshiping church?
No. Is it just churches or can the local synagogue have their particular security guards that shoot someone dead? Can the mosque have someone that shoots someone dead?
Well, we've seen this a lot before with like the educational voucher bill for Christian churches in Louisiana. And then somebody started using it for...
Like Muslim schools?
Muslim schools. Like, oh, wait, never mind.
We didn't intend for that.
Yeah, no, we meant only ours.
Yeah, it's a theme that seems to be going on that they don't pay attention to the full scope of what they're advocating for, especially when you're talking about justified homicide for any felony. It doesn't specify felony.
It says in the bill, in the tiny portion of the bill that actually deals with this, it just says any felony. So...
There is an amendment being looked at that does say violent felony, but that's the only clarification they've given.
Is that illegal? Is that actually a legal description? I mean, does that make sense?
I don't know if in the state a violent felony is different from, you know, like grand larceny or something like that.
Right.
But this is worrisome.
Shoot a guy for RICO.
Right. You can't do that. This is worrisome, and this should give everyone pause, both religious folks and secular people alike. I mean, this guy Gibson, the one who wrote the bill, purports that it was in response to the Charleston church shootings, when you had the person that studied with the Bible group for an hour and then opened fire and killed 8 or 9 people. And to wit, that is a terrible, terrible event. But is the answer saying we're going to give folks at church, religious people, special privileges with able to execute deadly force?
Well, this is a bent on legislative posturing that we haven't talked about much in the show, but happens a lot, which is this bill is about churches and guns. Which, okay, it is about that if you read the first paragraph. But after the first paragraph, the bill is basically a rewrite of their concealed carry weapons laws in Mississippi. This is a gun law in the Trojan horse of
let's protect worshipers.
Let's protect worshipers law. And, you know, I don't really want to get into a conversation about firearms. Not what the show is about. But you're hiding your legislation inside of something about religion in a state perceived as religious in order to pass laws because it's an election year and you want to look like somebody who's on the side of, you know, religion, et cetera, et cetera. This is just, more professional wrestling style posturing. And there again, we need to protect churches. We need to protect churches. And then somebody says, well, what about mosques, as you said? And then suddenly the narrative changes. Except, Becky, you were talking about this in the post show. There was somebody wielding a sword in the legislative chamber or something like that?
Yeah, it was great. So, in our pre-search, if you will, you sort of listened to the different kind of debate that was happening at the time. And you had not only the person saying, well, hey, I think this might have some unintended consequences because you might have a mosque security team that's full of, open carry guns,
right?
And someone says, oh, no, there's a lot of Muslim people with guns. I think they're all terrorists, and a private citizen might go crazy and try and, you know, amend that situation, if you will, or ameliorate that situation. And at the same time, you had another person saying, look, do we really want these kinds of things? And so he was quoting scripture and wielding a sword and saying, if you think this is ridiculous, the law, the bill on its face should cause alarm.
Okay, so posturing on the chamber floor with a weird sword, that's the kind of stuff I like. In actual law, in actual legislation, I think that that's a serious problem because now people have to enforce those laws. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about somebody who's really, really, really bad at their job. I said really 3 times.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We have some really fun news and some interesting clips, but before that, support separation of church and state and the spirit of E Pluribus Unum on June 29th at a rally at Olympia's East Plaza North Lawn by the steps at 11 a.m. Less than half a mile away at the Capitol steps, the Reverend Franklin Graham's Decision America Tour will be rallying. Let's counter Graham's message with secular posters and chants of our own. Speakers include Damian Athope, Travis the Big Funny Simmons, and some guy named Sam. And I'm actually looking forward to this. A couple weeks ago, I said, you know, actually, it might have been last week. I don't know. My timing's weird. I said, I think as a community in Washington state, we need to be more politically active. I think, you know, we have groups like Secular Coalition of America and other, you know, advocacy groups that I think are incredibly important. But I feel like with the amount of godless people in Washington state, and the apparent political activity of many of those people. I think last, you know, we'd heard of 28 or 29 people involved in the Washington State Caucus who were active in the atheism community. Just you know, hanging out on Facebook. I think this is the proper direction, and this is the kind of thing we should be doing.
I totally agree, and especially in contrast to this Decision America tour.
Yeah, okay.
These are rallies that go around saying, Christian voters, let's get out and vote our values, and come just shy of actually endorsing specific candidates, which, of course, as a preacher or as a ministry or as a religious organization, you're not allowed to do.
Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you about, you know, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to spend 20 minutes talking about my favorite person in the world who I would give, you know, willingly give up ice cream for, et cetera, et cetera. Et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not advocating for a specific person who's not Donald Trump. that kind of thing? Is that what we're talking about?
I think you might be approaching that, Sam. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So Reverend Franklin Graham is related to somebody. It's a guy I've heard of before, but might not be as well known to our listeners.
That would be the progeny of one Billy Graham.
Indeed. popular articles when we were actively blogging on askanatheist.tv is about Billy Graham, in fact.
Indeed.
So,
speaking of other people that are really bad at their jobs?
He might be really good at his job. His job is just bad. This is somebody who's actually bad at a good job. Oh, boy. A Little Rock U.S. history teacher has been suspended with pay after showing the film The Passion of the Christ and going on a rant laced with racist, homophobic, and anti-liberal statements. The local ACLU received numerous complaints after teacher Greg Hendricks, including reports that the teacher utilized a study guide filled with religiously leading questions. Hendricks, who also coaches track and football at Mills High School, was fired from a previous job after using homophobic slurs toward a former student athlete. The ACLU maintains that the film and accompanying quiz not only violates the Constitution's Establishment Clause, but also violates a 2003 settlement between the district and the ACLU, which states that students will not be subject to religious preaching during school hours. The settlement arose when an administrator preached at a gay student and forced him to read the Bible.
Man, they're batting 1,000 down there at Mills High School in Little Rock.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing here that isn't highlighted in the story is somebody in this technological panopticon that we live in the 21st century, somebody took their phone with them into the classroom and recorded this guy and posted it online. And boy, howdy. When I say this guy is bad at his job, I mean literally it's 10 minutes. And other than when he describes... No, he's actually even wrong when he describes himself. because he describes himself in a very particular way that has a fixed definition, and it's kind of funny. That's not something I often say about people. You know, I usually just try to let people describe themselves, just say that, okay, that's accurate. But, oh boy. You guys ready for this?
Let's do this.
Okay. Clip one.
So, you have lost your First Amendment right that is guaranteed to you by the Constitution to peaceful assembly in this classroom and to free speech because of one person.
All right. Who wants to take a crack at what's wrong with that statement?
Well, I'm pretty sure he's making a big assumption about just one person, right?
Yeah, that sounds, that can be an assumption. And that's a common trope in the you know, oh wow, religion is under attack. Is that it's like religion is under attack. This is siege America. This is Christianity is dying because one person said something. It's an interesting dichotomy.
It is. I'll take a crack at something else that's wrong about this.
Okay, go for it.
A student's right to peaceful assembly inside a classroom? There's no right to peaceful assembly inside a classroom. There's a required assembly that you show up in your classroom lest you be marked truant. There's free speech to a limited degree inside a classroom. Plus, these are not students that are freely assembling to try and watch a video during the history class. Students and family and community members can have input in curriculum, but students don't get to drive an entire curriculum and say, hey, U.S. history teacher, we, the students, are going to assemble to watch Passion of the Christ during your history class.
Yeah, this is this guy saying, I'm going to make you watch this movie and make you take this really telling quiz, but instead, but I'm going to call it your right to peaceful assembly. The modification of my lesson plans in order to be legally, in order to fit the legal definition of what I'm supposed to do in my job, in my government job, is a violation of your right to free expression. I love that. Is that technically projection? I don't know what it was. I don't know if that works or not.
in our psychological amateur analysis, I don't know. It's something.
All right, number two, indeed.
Man, let this be your first lesson. Don't say Jesus at school. Oh Lord, don't say Jesus at school. But you know, we can push Islam on you, and you know, gay rights, and you know, all this other stuff. I mean, all of that's acceptable, but don't say Jesus.
He said, comma, in a school.
Students can pray as long as it doesn't disrupt regular classroom instruction. I mean, really, that's never been in question. You know, there are students that go and get lunch in the cafeteria and they sit down with their friends, and a group of the religious students sit and they bow their heads and they pray before eating lunch in the cafeteria. A bunch of other kids don't do that. That's never been under attack, and that's never been disallowed. I mean, secular laws protect, and free speech laws protect students who want to say Jesus in a classroom. You can't monopolize classroom time saying Jesus.
Precisely. And frankly, if you can't say Jesus in a high school, I should be in prison.
Well,
I mean, I don't say it, you know, I have adopted the 20th century American cursing technique. So
I teach heritage Spanish, so, you know, I wouldn't be able to, you know, reference authors or students in my classroom if I can't say Jesus.
He's also making the claim that Islam gets pushed.
Right.
And it even if it does get pushed at any, because, well, learning about it apparently is pushing it, but there's almost no cases of actually Islam being pushed into a public school system. And in comparison to Christianity, it would just be overwhelmed if it did.
Precisely. This is the trope that they follow. It's we're under attack. You can't pray in school, which has never been true. You can't say Jesus in school, which has never been true. But we're trying to make everybody gay, and it boggles me that people still stick to these situations that they don't work socially, not in the same way. They works among themselves. It is a way to bring the tribes together, I suppose. But
against other
people. Yeah, it's fairly xenophobic. It's in its approach, but it hasn't worked legally. Isn't really working socially. If what the Pew Research Forum says about America is true, and it nobody buys it. But this is what is stuck to in a very specific brand of church. This is a very specific line of dialogue you'll hear in any conservative political rally that has a religious bent. Right this minute, right here in Washington, not just in Arkansas.
That was a redundant statement.
Not necessarily, but...
It also is heard in Christian media. Right now, this is just in time for the release of that terrible sequel, God's Not Dead 2, which precisely deals with the false narrative of a teacher being under attack for being Christian just by saying you cannot preach in a classroom.
I forgot that came out this week.
Is
I
that
must
this
go.
Week?
Yes, it came out on April Fool's.
I still got to watch the first one because I really got to see the guy from Andromeda be a jerk. Okay, are you guys ready for my particular ox to be gored?
Okay, let's gore your ox, Sam.
All right, no, that sounds creepy.
Hey, all the music you enjoy now, rap, guess who tried to get it banned in the 80s? You know who Al Gore is? He's a Democrat. His wife, Tipper Gore, led a revolt against the music industry on groups like Two Live Crew, on Eazy-E, okay? Public Enemy, stuff that I listen to, that I like, Metallica, Twisted Sister, and all that stuff that I listen to, that I still like to listen to because I grew up with it. Well, guess what? She lost.
Oh, boy. Tipper Gore and the Parents Music Resource Center is a thing I remember well. It was one of the foundational arguments of my childhood political evolution. And when Al Gore became, when was running for president of the United States at the turn of the century, my head immediately went, okay, what's going to happen with Tipper Gore? She seems to have gotten off this weird music thing after the sticker happened, but who knows? Once you're in the White House, things can change. But, okay, yes, Tipper Gore was involved. He is absolutely correct. But he also seems to forget Susan Baker, the wife of Republican Jim Baker, the American Family Association, the Christian Coalition, and one of my favorite CNN clips of all time, John Lofton on an episode of Crossfire with Novak and somebody else, with Frank Zappa discussing this. It's, if you have not seen it, it's on practically every video streaming service you've ever heard of. Go check it out. It's an amazing conversation, which is going to lead to a point in a minute. But okay, yes, Tipper Gore was the head of this, but it was very much backed by people who want to watch Passion of the Christ in high schools. Same population. This guy's a member of it. You're on the wrong side. And you're very bad at your job. This is recent U.S. history that you've lived through, and you got it wrong. You are literally the worst history teacher I've ever heard. Frank Zappa said something very important that I'd like to bring up, and Becky hates it when I do this. But Frank Zappa was an advocate of something I kind of did, which was drop out of high school, go to a library, and read a lot. And that's something I do to this day. Well, I don't continually drop out of high school. It's usually something you only do once. Or twice in my case. But don't trust teachers. A lot of them have, if you're a student and you're listening to this, one, hello, two, don't trust teachers. Be respectful because one, you have to be, but two, because you might find a teacher worthy of trust and you don't want to start off on a bad foot. But don't always trust what teacher's telling you, you know. Do research if you want, but if they're trying to teach you something moral, you got to be careful because sometimes morals go in a bad place, like this one. Okay, I'm kind of...
Man, that ox was thoroughly gored, stripped. We tanned its leather and hung it out to dry at this point.
Yeah, turned it into a chair.
Sam, that was... you said that I was going to hate this. Maybe the dropping out of high school, going to the library and reading. The dropping out of high school part, I do hate. But the going to a library, read lots of things, and don't automatically trust your teachers or trust your elders or trust those who are purporting to be a source of authority on something.
We have reached the Becky subverts what Sam says for the purposes of her career phase.
Oh, man, but I love it. No, I mean, that's something that is an amazing part of coming to see the world as one should and being a critical thinker about it.
Okay, I did drop out of high school. I said twice. And that's precisely what I did. But I did go all 4 years, precisely, mainly because I was told by family that I should learn how to be less of a space alien around other human beings. And I think going to school all 4 years was good for me socially, even if I didn't quite get a diploma. But I think the salient point here that Frank Zappa was trying to make was, don't just passively be educated. Don't take education like watching an episode of The Simpsons. Take charge of your education and direct it yourself, which I think is important.
Yeah.
Okay. Real short clip.
Here's the bottom line with Republicans, because I am one. Actually, I'm a constitutional conservative.
Now, after all of this, him calling himself a constitutional anything is like calling me calling myself a nuclear physicist. I'm not one. I don't know how. And I just, I try to leave self-identity alone, but he seems to have gotten what the First Amendment, the most important of the amendments, which is why it's first, completely wrong in this case. He is using his students as a shield in order to avoid their First Amendment rights. And it's kind of terrible.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to start penning a book with David Barton. That's definitely going to end up at Goodwill and end up on my shelf sometime.
Oh, yeah. It's surprising that I don't have a David Barton book in here. I think it might be one of the few hilarious authors who I don't have in here in my propaganda collection.
He's like the king propagandist. Why wouldn't you?
He is. But then again, maybe the wounds are too fresh. Having David Barton quoted at me at the Pierce County Council chambers a couple times.
When you have David Barton quoted at you in a municipal setting, not only is this history teacher the worst at his job, but you have government officials that are just on their face wrong about their particular jobs too.
Yeah, I can pretty much guarantee he's got David Barton on his bookshelf.
I would agree. So this guy's been fired before. Becky, what does it take to get fired and stay fired?
I mean,
I believe I've asked this about state Supreme Court judges a couple times.
I don't know, but I would say, in my professional opinion, this person is not fit to be a teacher. Absolutely discriminatory towards his students. At one point, I mean, it's not just about the religious thing. There's more that you can hear at this 10-minute rant.
Yeah, I'll include a link to it in the show notes, because it's definitely... it's definitely worth hearing, just to know that this kind of stuff does happen in schools. And I think more people have experienced it than I know I have in my time. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-753-7842, 844-SKEPTIC. We're going to go to break when we come back. Maybe talk about this a little bit more, but there's a lot of good news going on, so...
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is, it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEX radio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And in the break, I was kind of getting it in the neck for saying not to trust teachers. Josh, you had an opinion on that, which I think needs to be heard.
I think you just came off a little tough on teachers. You want to kind of not absolutely trust a teacher, but you definitely want to take everything with a grain of salt that you're ever taught.
Right. Becky?
You know,
As a teacher?
I'm kind of with you, Sam. Don't automatically trust your teachers. Don't start out by trusting them. Be cautious and then, as you said, find one that's worthy of your trust and respect. You'll find that there are individuals in the world, there are teachers, there are adults, there's all kinds of people that will show you whether, you know, the ways in which you can trust them. And that's good. I would say don't trust the authority of someone who says something is true or not true.
Well, the way I would do it is just don't trust authority at all. But I think my anti-authoritarian bent is fairly well known on the show by this point.
I've got a question authority bumper sticker on my wall in my classroom. So yeah, there you go.
That's a little weird. One of my favorite comics is a big poster that says question authority and then somebody going, why? But I did not have the most fantastic of educational experiences. I'll just put it out there. And I had, if I were to describe my educational experience up to about age 18, it would be years and years of just drudging, learning to go through the motions, learning how to just live in this sort of communal prison-like environment, and with bright spots of huge informational these spots with like individual teachers who just taught me so much stuff in such a short period of time and just completely changed the way I view the universe, in fact, that I would say those bright moments were worth the rest of it. So I'm not saying educators are crap, don't trust teachers, don't learn things. I'm actually, the way I put it before is well, don't trust anyone automatically. I mean, because the problem with schools is you're in a situation where you are expected to give respect and you are expected to trust the teacher. That's the setup in the classroom.
Then I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. And so don't trust the setup. Let the teachers be human beings, I suppose, would be a nicer way to put it. And value them as human beings and not as information sources, and that comes with all the, if somebody's being a knob, like a certain teacher in Little Rock, write them off.
I would like to address some of the knobbery of a particular teacher and see what we can trust or not. You know, in the story, we alluded to this teacher's quiz, this U.S. history teacher's quiz, study guide, viewing guide for Passion of the Christ, which, by the way, is an extremely violent and gory film.
Yeah, it's an incredibly violent movie.
I think I would object to it just on the grounds of violence.
Isn't it PG-13?
No, it's rated R.
So aren't you not allowed? I know you have to get a permission slip for R-rated films.
Oh, yeah. All the way up through 12th grade, we have to have parental permission for anything that's PG-13 or R. And I don't know how this teacher particularly got away with it. But, you know, he didn't.
He just did it. Yeah. He just did it and was probably going to ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah.
Oh. That's how it works culture, right? But, you know, the religiously leading study guide, it maybe is a little bit of a gentle term for this. When you're asking students, what is your personal cross that you're bearing and how does it make you understand Jesus better? That to me is obscene as a teacher. You know, as teachers, we try and I won't lie. We try and lead students to particular, uncovering particular information or answers through Socratic questioning, through inquiry.
I think you're going to have to, for instance, this one for me. You have to give me an example that isn't, now you must believe in Jesus.
Okay. For instance, let's see what kind of patterns are emergent when we look at these particular ways of speaking in Spanish. Oh, we can see that all the things that we talk about in the past, the words all look this certain way. They end in these letters. Can we discern a rule from that? You know, that's what I mean by emergent questioning. I'm leading them to discover a particular answer. But nothing about their particular moral judgments of themselves. I'm talking about, can you generalize a grammatical term and now communicate in Spanish?
So your example is leading to process information then?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But when you're saying, what's your particular cross to bear?
As opposed to.
that's not what I mean by Socratic questioning, sir. Mr. Hendricks. Mr. Hendricks, who uses gay slurs against your athletes who no longer want to play football and now want to be cheerleaders. You using slurs against...
Wait, this is information I didn't know.
Oh, yes. That was why he was fired from his previous job. When we say that he's really, really bad at his job, we're not just talking about him as a history teacher and totally misunderstanding and misconstruing the U.S. Constitution and U.S. history and religiosity. He's also bad at his coaching jobs, the job that he was fired from beforehand. He was a football coach. One of his players quit football to become a cheerleader, and anyone knows that a solid cheer team really needs those bases, and men can provide really, really excellent core members of a cheer team. And he used homophobic slurs. I mean, ones that we cannot say on the radio towards this particular student. These are minor children. I mean, what business does this person have being a teacher, a coach, anything having to do with the Constitution, with government? Man, I think we got another ox in the room, and we slew that one, too.
So a bit of a juxtaposition here with another news story. A Colorado school has agreed to make atheist and satanic pamphlets and books available to its students. The Western Colorado Atheists and Freethinkers asked the Delta County School District to make a number of pamphlets and books, along with the Satanic Temple coloring book, available to students in response to a Gideon Bible distribution that was held in the middle school. Assistant Superintendent Kurt Clay told reporters that the school's policy does not allow them to discriminate. The district is considering amending their policy to exclude religious materials of all sorts, which is a move the atheist group supports.
Yeah, that's definitely the outcome that the atheists and the Satanists want.
Right. This is the thing that I have described as trolling, which apparently isn't trolling anymore because the definition has changed. But it's a satirical, kind of serious but satirical attack on a particular weak spot in the defense of the rights of people that ends up patching the hole. I mean, this is sort of legislative bug fixing in a way. I mean, it's kind of how I would describe it.
Especially if they're looking at amending their school district policy. So this actually did happen. They were permitted to do it. Usually right. when the Satanist coloring book has come up in places like Florida, the school board has said, no, we don't want this. Okay, we're changing our policies. So this is the first time I think that we've seen it go through. So hooray for coloring. And Hemet Mehta of the Friendly Atheists actually did report on this, saying that there were some Christians whose minds were changed and said, no, I think this is okay. Hand out as many Satanist pamphlets and atheist pamphlets as you want, because I don't want the opportunity to distribute Bibles being taken away.
So the question I have to ask is, I just spent 20 minutes complaining about one history teacher in Little Rock, Arkansas. And now I'm lauding this. Is there an inconsistency in my thinking here?
No, because they're basically we're just trying to say that religion has to stay out of a public institution. There's no inconsistency in that. It just
and if it is allowed in a public institution, then it can't be just one religion. It has to be, you know, freely available access for everything. And we should say that the difference here is that this is a table in the library being left with materials that says free, take one, as opposed to dominating a curriculum and the conversation to the exclusion of knowing about Islam to begin with. And then when someone is being, ordered to teach about a particular religion, saying this is Islam and gay rights being pushed upon you. No, right. This is a curriculum. Bible distributions or satanic coloring book distributions or atheist literature distributions are here free. Take one, you know, as much as the, a career center or college recruiting center in your school or in the cafeteria has, hey, take these pencils from our local community college. Hey, take these keychains from the Navy recruiter. So I don't think there's an inconsistency there.
I just personally, this is the same kind of positioning. There's a positioning here that's much like the history teacher we're talking about, in that so we distribute Gideon Bibles in high schools. People don't like that. The attack on Christianity continues. Completely ignorant of the fact that going into a school and distributing distributing religious pamphlets to people in a place where they're legally required to be and is not the public square constitutes an attack of a much more realistic and provable sort.
I suppose. I don't think that there's an attack when you say that, look, everything is open and available. If a student wanted to read the Bible, there's an internet connection.
If that's where we were and we were leaving it there, I would absolutely agree 100%, but that's a position absent context. The context right now is that there's the perception of an attack on religion because people's minds are being changed and our morality is improving beyond what religion offers. And so you have people distributing Bibles in schools in order to get more recruits for their fan clubs. And you've got like places like Phoenix in Arizona, where they absolutely must have a Christian presiding over every event that they have. And then the minute somebody else says, like, hey, can we have a humanist convocation? Can we have, you know, Muslims come in? It's suddenly, no, we got to do that. We got to rewrite the rules. And whatever we do, we have to find a way to rewrite the rules so that only Christians can participate. That this particular expression in our government, which is supposed to stay out of this fight completely, only applies to a specific population of religious believers. And that's the context we're in. And it's very hard for me to say, yes, all this information should be available in schools. It should all be there, when this is the wider context. It's just as you say, there is the internet. Our information sources are not what they were 30 years ago. It's not just libraries, which, you know, for some people it was hard to get to. For me, when I was a kid and didn't have a car and didn't have a lot of money, getting to the library was a bit of a chore, especially when I lived in places that didn't have, like, good busing. That's not now. We have information all over the place. I mean, there's Wi-Fi at every Starbucks, and there's apparently 15 Starbucks on every block next to every church. And there's free Wi-Fi at McDonald's. I mean, the internet is widely available, and that information is available to you outside of the educational context. And while we have this ongoing attack on the concept of free speech going on, I would invite people that if they want to know about these things to pursue it outside of the educational context.
So pursue educating yourself outside of the educational context.
Yeah, that seems to be my theme today, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Because if you do that, you might end up a weird bum screaming on the radio. And how bad is that? Come on.
We have found that there is no inconsistency in your reasoning, Sam.
I I cannot believe you. I have to have somebody wrong, and I have to have something wrong, and I assume somebody's going to correct me, because that's how that works. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. You can go to our website, click on the shiny red candy-like button, and tell me what's wrong with my brain and why I should be committed. Moving on. This is really good news. The Tribeca Film Festival has decided to remove an anti-vaccination documentary from their lineup this year. Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Conspiracy, was originally slated to air during the festival, but was pulled after a public outcry. The film is directed by Andrew Wakefield, the former doctor whose medical license was revoked after he was found to have falsified evidence in a study that claimed a connection between vaccines and autism. The festival's co-founder, Robert De Niro, who has an autistic son, said he hoped the film would open up a conversation that was very close to his family. However, after viewing the film, De Niro changed his position, saying that the film didn't contribute or further discussion he had hoped for.
I like this.
I like everything about this.
Well done. Critical thinking. You examine a piece of media and you say, no, there's nothing here that would be additive. And one of the things that I am enjoying watching, with a little bit of disdain, but I'm actually enjoying watching people say, they're censoring our views. This is all about censorship. And you say, no, actually, this isn't a free speech violation. This isn't censorship. This is editorial discretion. This is his funded, directed film festival. They get to decide what gets included in the film festival lineup.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what Robert De Niro would have kind of hoped that they would have brought up that actually would have shined any light on his son's issues.
I think just having the issue of something about autism, you know, if autism is an issue that's close and dear to you and you want to raise awareness for it, for people that are not neurotypical, for looking at health factors and health concerns of people with autism and families and how it affects families, that could be important. But saying, oh, wait a minute, this actually has no connection to this, and this is furthering propaganda of someone who's been thoroughly discredited.
Well, it's like he says, it's a concern that's close to him, and it's a conversation that he'd like to assist in creating. And Tribeca Film Festival is a big deal. And so having a conversation like that, or starting a conversation like that from a film festival, would be novel and, I think, helpful. I think that'd be a good thing. This is not the movie to do it with. And if Robert De Niro, like, had the authority to say, this film does not get made and nobody sees it, that would be censorship. Like, this is another situation where somebody on the other side might say, hey, there's a flaw in your thinking. You don't like it when he talks about this, but now you want this sort of blocking and you want that sort of blocking. This movie is made, is available. You can get it. Nobody's preventing its distribution, and it's not like it's not getting attention. Let's put it that way. I don't know where people are going to talk about censorship, and I don't see an interface for censorship here.
What do you think would be a good way to actually bring more attention to autism?
You're really asking the wrong guy on that one.
I think something that would be representative of some critical thinking and some skepticism and using a scientific method.
Yeah, the way I would do it is I would have a news story on a radio show that mentions an autism film at a film festival. Would be the way that I would do it.
Well, you're in luck, Sam.
As it happens. I do like the evolution of Andrew Wakefield from doctor to filmmaker.
That seems to be a much better place for him at this point.
I don't know. Because he's still
peddling his
peddling,
particular pet
and he's still
hypothesis.
Got a strong, he still has a strong following.
He still has a strong following, and he's still peddling this incredibly harmful and well-debunked nonsense. And I can't imagine that... That him being a film producer is going to help people understand that vaccines prevent mass death.
You know, would it have been better for a venue to screen this particular movie, Vaxxed, The Controversy, et cetera, et cetera? with the sole purpose of cutting into every single little false argument and assertion that is made.
See, that's the kind of thing I would do if I could have a public. I doubt I could get the license to play this publicly, but I would do that sort of thing. I don't know anybody go, because us nitpicking a movie to death for 6 hours may not be everybody's cup of tea. I don't know. Would you go to that, Josh?
No, and this is entirely out of the scope of the Tribeca Film Festival.
Oh, it's completely out of the scope of the film festival. But that's over. That's De Niro and Company's thing. It's been pulled from there. Now, what Becky's bringing up is something that I like to do is I like talking about stuff like this because...
The sunshine is the best disinfectant kind of argument here?
Yeah. Yeah, I think generally it is. And that's all the time we've got for this week. My name is Sam. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Josh. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Give us a call at 844-753-7842. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Twitter us at askanatheistwa. We're on Facebook. Other places. See you guys next week.
Settle down. You might learn something.